time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us here again at Abounding Grace. Today, we're again taking up our subject of what are the means that God has chosen to produce faith in the hearts of the believer. And yesterday, I worked through a bit this passage in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus, a very well-known account, one that all of us seem to know are very familiar with because of this key phrase that Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God." And I said yesterday, there's been a really low view of what it means to be born again. We somehow think that we activate that new birth by our faith. We somehow think that our reaching out to Christ and our reaching up or climbing Jacob's ladder is the thing that works and produces faith in the heart. And that is the very last thing, the very thing that Jesus is countering in John chapter 3. We must again and again be impressed by the marvelous redemptive acts of God to save our weary souls. Christian liberalism, if you will, or Christianity that is compromising, always begins first with what we have to do. But true Christianity first begins with a gracious act of God and how He reaches down to save sinners. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching us here in John chapter 3. Jesus was jolting the mind of Nicodemus to think about the fact of his absolute inability to enter the kingdom of heaven in his own power. And Jesus is saying, unless you are born from above, remember that translation as we considered yesterday, unless you are born from above, you will not enter the kingdom. Jesus is teaching Nicodemus that a spiritual rebirth is what he needs, and he's going to teach him that such an act only comes by the sovereign workings of the Spirit in the heart. Now, the reason that this is so beautiful is because, my friends, and we shouldn't fight against this, I know the tendency is, but look at it in all of its glory, if you will. The reason this is so beautiful is that it makes the entirety of our salvation a gift from God. May I say that again? It makes the entire salvation, anything that we have from Him by way of salvation, a gift from God. The Lord God, a reason to marvel and a reason to praise Him for saving dead sinners. And from this, Jesus takes Nicodemus right to the issue of how this new heavenly birth in the heart occurs. In verse 5, Jesus answers and says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, what is he saying? Well, what he was saying, my friends, is that God washes the sinner, and through the renewing power of the Spirit, He changes the heart. You'll notice that combination there, water and the Spirit. Now, this directly has Old Testament overtones, and Nicodemus as a Pharisee would have remembered this. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 25, we have a very fascinating statement, and it almost correlates very closely to exactly what Christ said in John chapter 3. Listen to Ezekiel 36, verse 25. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Now, when Jesus says in John 3, verse 5, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," he's directly connecting the two. He's speaking about the purification and new birth of a dead heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration, as we call it. And that is a work of Christ when His Spirit changes the dead heart into a new heart. In a sense, it's the act of placing the principle of a new life in the heart. Now, the acts of what we call conversion, which are repentance and faith, those things, when we come to realize those in our lives, are always preceded by regeneration. Regeneration comes first. Now, what am I saying? Well, often we think the new birth and our conversion experiences go hand in hand. But really what the Bible teaches is our expressions and our subjective experiences in life of repenting of our sins and turning to Jesus are outward fruits of something that has already occurred inwardly through the workings of the Spirit. Because we wouldn't do that in our own power. We just simply wouldn't. And so all of our subjective experiences, for instance, and somebody could rightly say, well, hey, if they came out of paganism, they could point to the time and when they submitted their lives to Christ. They could point to the time when they believed, and we shouldn't criticize that. But the point I'm making is all of that, all of our outward subjective experiences when we believe in Christ are very telling that regeneration has preceded our outward expressions of faith. Now, here's what I've been building to this week, my friends, in this study. If we have a right view of salvation, that all of it comes by a radical changing of the heart from the heavenly, glory, Holy Spirit who regenerates us first before we do anything, the natural question that follows is this: what then does the Spirit use to make this an effectual reality in our lives? You see, if salvation is entirely in the hand of God, and as He brings a dead sinner back to life, what does He consciously use in our life to produce faith? Because we receive all these benefits of Christ by faith alone, don't we? That's what the Bible teaches, by grace through faith. So the Spirit regenerates us, He changes the dead heart, and at some point, we come to a conscious awareness of our need for Jesus, all of us. There has to be a great sense and reverence and awe, a sense of our desperate need for this Savior, Jesus Christ. At some point, the heart has been regenerated and washed, and it begins to say, oh, I feel my nakedness. I feel my shame. I feel my sin, and it's overwhelming me. I feel my loss. I sense my need for this Jesus. I feel the need to embrace Him, to have Him cover my life. And so the sinner then looks to Jesus. He believes in Jesus. This is what the sinner subjectively realizes at some point in his life. There's a spiritual awakening in his conscience. And all of a sudden, Jesus becomes a sweet Savior to him. A hunger starts to thirst in the heart for His living water that He gives. A desire to be with Him is the life of the Christian, isn't it? But we ask, how does the Spirit produce that then in us? How does that desire, where does that desire come from? What is the Spirit chosen to work to constantly produce this desire to lean upon Christ, to trust in Christ, to believe in Christ? Well, the Bible again and again teaches us that the Spirit has chosen certain means to effectually work these spiritual realities in our hearts, as we receive all these benefits through the instrument of faith. So when we ask, where does faith come from? In a newly regenerated heart, the Holy Spirit seals for you. He gives you this gift. It's given to you through the securing and work of Christ on the cross and shedding His blood. He begins, the Christian, to produce, oh, the Holy Spirit, excuse me, begins to produce saving faith in you. By what means? Well, what do we confess? Through the preaching of the Holy Gospel. That's exactly what 1 Peter 1 verse 22 says. Now, I want you to listen to this carefully, my friends. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, let me pause and summarize that for you. Since you have been regenerated through the Spirit, which is revealed in the fact that you now obey the truth and love the brethren, those outward fruits, right? These outward fruits are all of the fact that you have been regenerated already and born from above. He then gives a commandment, doesn't he? Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Isn't that something? Again and again, the response to such grace, the response to such salvation is now love. And then in verse 23, Peter explains the means by which all this becomes a reality in us. He says, now listen to this carefully, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It is this word, he says, that is the instrument that the Spirit uses to produce saving faith and knowledge of the cross in you. And notice the emphasis on the continuing power of the word as it lives and abides and is living and active. He quotes Isaiah 40 here. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word. Now listen to this carefully. This is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. You've known my strong convictions, and I say this to you again over the radio, again and again. We have to tend diligently to what God has said he uses to produce faith. And there's a very good reason to react to everything else that's being used today in the name of winning souls and the goal of getting people born again. When everything else begins to be highlighted in every way above what God has chosen, it undermines the means that God works and has chosen to work through and has told us that he wants to work through. Some will say, oh, you're limiting the Spirit. I often want to ask people today, what's limiting the Spirit? I would reply, you're limiting the Spirit, because one thinks that God can't create faith in the heart without praise music, without dramas, without dance, without whatever. The real limiting of the Spirit occurs when we choose to undermine exactly what Peter is saying to us, that God chooses to work through his living and abiding word by which the holy gospel is preached to us. And so we need to set ourselves each and every week to sit under the holy gospel preached, because that is what God has chosen to strengthen and produce faith in the heart. May then this preaching of Christ and him crucified be our delight as we lay forth and show forth the fruits of our redemption.
Well, our desire in our brief time together each and every day here on Abounding Grace is to encourage you in Christ, and we trust today's broadcast has done that, even in a small way. If you have questions or comments about today's program, maybe a thought or two about what we've discussed today, would you please contact us? We'd love to hear from you. Your letters and phone calls mean a great deal to us. It's a great way of encouraging us as we seek to encourage you in Christ. The phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, please stop by our website. We even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there that you can review and listen to at your convenience. LindenURC.com is the website. Again, LindenURC.com. And as you stop by, would you drop us a quick email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. Again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. And if you would like to join us for worship here at United Reformed Church of Linden, we're located at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions and the map are located at our website, lindenurc.com, or you can call us, 360-318-0429, for those directions. And if you do visit us, would you let one of the ushers know that you were invited by the broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. If you'd like to write to us, just add Abounding Grace and the zip code 98264 to that address, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, and we'll be sure to correspond with you in kind. We do thank you for joining us today, and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.